Good morning.
Good morning.
Our processional hymn this morning is number 556, Morning Has Broken. Please rise. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our heart by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Confess our sin in the presence of God and one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together in Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Amen.
Please rise. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and from, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The hymn of praise is number 634. We're going to sing verses 3, 4, and 6. 634, verses 3, 4, and 6.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Almighty God, you have knit your people together in one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Grant us grace to follow your blessed saints in lives of faith and commitment, and know the inexpressible joys you have prepared for those who love you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, that reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. I believe our reader isn't here, so we're going to work it out.
Volunteers. The first reading today is Daniel 7, 1 through 3 and 15 through 18. In the first year of King Belshazzar of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions in his head as he lay in bed. Then he wrote down the dream. I, Daniel, saw in my vision by night four winds of heaven stirring up a great sea. Great beasts came up out of the sea, different from one another. As for me, Daniel, my spirit was troubled within me, and the visions of my head terrified me. I approached one of the attendants to ask him the truth concerning all this, and he said that he would disclose to me the interpretation of the matter. As for these four great beasts, four kings shall rise out of the earth, but the holy ones of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, forever and ever. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm today is 149. We'll read it responsively. Praise the Lord.
Sing to the psalm. His praise in the assembly of the faithful.
Let Israel be glad in its maker.
Let the children of Zion rejoice in their king.
Let them praise his name with dancing.
Making melody to him with tambourine and lyre.
For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. Let the faithful exult in glory.
Let them sing for joy among the nations.
Let the high praises of God be in their throats.
And to their swords in their hands.
To execute the vengeance on nations. To the blind their kings with fetters.
And their nobles with chains of iron.
To execute on them the judgment decreed. The second reading is from Ephesians chapter 1, 11 through 23. In Christ, we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed him, were marked with the seal of promised Holy Spirit with his pledge of our inheritance towards redemption of God's own people to praise of his glory. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you spirit of wisdom and a revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eye of your heart enlightened, you may perceive what is the hope which he has called you, that are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is immeasurable greatness of his power for those who believe according to the workings of his great power. God put his power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all rules and authority and power and dominion, above every name that is named, not only in his age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him, all in all. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise. The Gospel for today, All Saints Sunday, is from the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Luke 6, chapter 6, verses 20 through 31. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and defame you on the account of the Son of Man. Rejoice on that day that you will leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is how our ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. And woe to you now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. But I say to you who are listening, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who asks of you, and if anyone takes away what is yours, do not ask for it back. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." The Gospel of the Lord.
To you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Today's sermon is based on the gospel reading, and when I started this, I actually learned something. You probably recognize the reading for today as the Beatitudes. There are 8 Beatitudes, but did you know, because I did not know, that the 2 stories of the Beatitudes are not the same sermon, the one in Matthew and the one in Luke. They are simply told by 2 different authors. In fact, they are separate records of 2 completely different. In fact, Bible scholars refer to them as the Sermon on the Mount, which we're familiar with from Matthew, and today, the Sermon on the Plain, or the Plateau. That's Luke 6. There are some similarities, but the differences are more than subtle. One is delivered on the mountain with Jesus sitting, and the other is delivered on flat ground with Jesus standing in the middle of all the people. Both had different audiences. One scholar suggests that Jesus was teaching as a rabbi on the mountain to his disciples. That's why he was seated. And the other people just simply gathered around to listen. Versus the Sermon on the Plain was a sermon to many people, all who needed to be healed and their lives made better. Matthew's 8 Beatitudes are spiritual. Luke's 4 blessings are social and material. For example, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's Matthew. Versus Luke, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew would say, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Where Luke says, blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. The best part of Luke's story are the 2 verses before the gospel reading today. And the whole multitude sought to touch him because power was coming from him. And he lifted up his eyes and healed all of them. Imagine Jesus standing in the middle of all those people, pressing, trying to get closer, to touch him, to hear him. And he just heals all of them. Luke also throws in some woes, a reminder to those who are rich, to those who are full now, or laughing, or just having a great time, not paying attention to what is really happening around us. And he also tells us to love our enemies, turn the other cheek, and do unto others as you would have them do unto you. They're good words for everyone, but they're words. And speaking of words, another word for blessed is happy. So whether you say happy or blessed, Jesus shocks his audience by reversing our way of thinking, telling people that they are blessed who are hungry, poor, weeping, and when others hate them. Somehow today that doesn't ring very true to our ears when we hear it. I think it's because we've heard them so many times in our lives, it's lost its shock value for us. They just sound sort of sweet and familiar. But what if it read like this today? Blessed are those who are arrested, thrown in jail, and deported, for theirs is the kingdom. Blessed are those who protest against the government, for they will be called the children of God. It sort of takes our breath away, much like it did back when Jesus said his version. Jesus is like that. He likes turning things upside down and reversing how we think and act. He uses the Beatitudes to paint a picture for us to help us remember. But here's the thing. The Beatitudes aren't commandments. They aren't a ticket to heaven. If you do this, you receive that. The Beatitudes are simply gospel truths, a gospel language of hope and promise that the way things are now is not the way they will be. Those who are last today will someday be first. Much of the power of the Beatitudes depends on where you're sitting when you hear them. They sound different from up on top than they do underneath. Are we the well-fed Christians who feel satisfied and assured? We have no worry of the market rising or falling? If you and I have no worry of being arrested, or if you will be able to feed your family right now due to the government shutdown, well, we too have fallen in that group of people who need answers and to help those in need. The poor need to work hard is what we like to think and say. If the poor would just work harder, get a job, and then they won't need government assistance. The weak need to get a backbone. No one helped me. They can do it if they would just try. If you don't believe me, turn on the TV. Someone will tell you what to think and how to think, and then they will tell you why. But they also fail to tell you that the majority of those on assistance, 80%, are working one or two jobs. They simply do not make enough. Or do we have empathy and feel spiritual poverty along with our brothers and sisters, those who are the victims, the dreamers, the ignored, the abused, the physically bankrupt, with no credit or savings, nothing to trade, who sit on the sidewalk holding out a paper cup to anyone passing by? The funny thing is both groups hear the same words. It's just that when some of us really hear Jesus' description of life, we alter how we see the world. It goes from black and white 8mm home movies to full color motion picture with surround sound. I guess you can do anything you want with the Beatitudes. People always have. Some ignore them. Some have admired them and walked away. Some have used them as a measure of their own blessedness, used them to declare a revolution, like Martin Luther King or Jane Goodall. Perhaps the simplest thing to do with them is to let them turn you around or upside down so you cannot see the world the same way, so that you cannot be sure anymore who the winners or the losers are. Excuse me. But now seeing the world in color now gives you a special insight to the teachings of Jesus. From that different vantage point, you begin to see the poor, the meek, those that mourn are not just other people, they are us. I think maybe all we have to do is to how we feel when we hear them. Notice how hard it is to erase from your mind once we hear the words, blessed are the poor, the hungry, and those who weep. If you have ever had to file for spiritual bankruptcy yourself, or you are suffering now, it will not always be this way. Jesus promises relief in time. Or if you are comfortable now, feeling mostly in control, Jesus cautions you that those circumstances will change too. The illusion of self-sufficiency will disappear. No matter who we are or our circumstances that we go through, we will all be humbled, and grace is what sustains us. Today, on All Saints' Day, we honor saints past, present, and yet to come. And today, we hold our hearts and loved ones who are gone before us. The Beatitudes invite us to remember that in their lives, when they struggled, Jesus called them blessed. And when they found themselves in the woe column, forgetting for a moment how much they needed God, Jesus loved them too. That his grace, that his love is given to all saints and to all of us. One last word for those who mourn today. Take Jesus at his word. It will not always be so. Blessed now, for one day you will laugh. Amen.
The hymn of the day is number 427. Please rise and join me in the confession of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and lasting. Gathered with one voice, we offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all who are in need. God of all that is, delight in the praises of your people and revive the spirit of your church. Move through us with boldness so that we may proclaim the gospel of Christ throughout the world. Renew and revive pastors, deacons, and lay leaders. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is
great. God of begiven, give us the courage to advocate for environmental policy that will ensure a viable future for generations. Restore desolate places to health and flourishing. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of all our days, guide the leaders of governments, nations, municipalities, and all those seeking office. Accompany the election officials and volunteers. Dismantle injustice and oppression wherever it is found. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of comfort in troubled times, we pray for those who are in need of protection and care, especially those we lift up to you now in our hearts. Trusting that you, our constant in mercy, protect safety and solace. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of what is yet to come, encourage and inspire those who give their time, talent, and treasure in service to your church. By their commitment, further the work of ministry in this place and uplift your gospel. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of time and space, we give thanks for the faithful departed. Felix Joe De La Cruz, Chuck Strome, Roy Calvin Dyer, and Seth Lonsbury. Sustain us in hope of our eternal unity in Christ. Hear us, O God. We offer these and all our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your grace and undying love through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated.
Welcome to worship at St. John's Lutheran Church, American Falls, Idaho, this morning. Today in the church year is All Saints Sunday. Especially welcome to all of you who are here visiting here with us today in person, and to those who are worshiping with us by listening to the radio station or the internet broadcast. Happy birthday this week to Diane Bites, Tucker George, Nick Bethke, Diane Strand Wilson, Honey Allen.
Okay, I'm just going to talk here for a second, a couple of things. First of all, Pat did an excellent job with this gospel. I was gone this week to National FFA Convention. It was awesome. Lyndon hated it. But I got a phone call, and there's a group of ecumenical leaders that meet at the school district office to address needs that arise periodically. One of the needs right now, November 1st, the SNAP benefits. Food stamps, EBT, whatever you want to call them. Food assistance is being cut. So we were trying to figure out a way to help the people for food insecure at this moment who really don't know where their next meal's coming from. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about how that happens. We're all quick to judge, well, they should get a job. Well, guess what? They have two jobs. Pat pointed that out. But there is a family here. The young man and woman have three toddlers. Mom has severe mental health issues. She could not afford her medication, so she had a severe episode and was charged criminally, leaving a father who normally works 60 hours a week with three toddlers. We're trying to help him. Who knows what the best way to help him is? Anybody? Nobody knows the best way. The things that he needs are money for his house payment, to be able to dress his children. He can't work enough hours to afford daycare. Even if he could get 60 hours in a week, he couldn't afford daycare if he could find it for 60 hours a week for three children. It's not out there. This is not for us how he's going to feed his children, but now he does not have SNAP benefits. So there's three, basically infants, toddlers, not school age, so they're not getting a meal at school, left without food. We need to help In any way we can, I did offer at that group, we do have funds that, you know, we call our social concerns budget that we need to help. But how are we going to get the food to them? So if anybody's got any great ideas, let me know. If you don't have any great ideas, keep an eye on the social concern. Because when it gets low, if something doesn't happen, those kids will still be hungry. And Dad will be trying his very hardest. Okay, next thing. Pat's sermon was better. Pastor Beek's going away is on November 16th. Shonda has a book, apparently. She kind of started a scrapbook, and then we kind of held it off because we didn't know if the good goodbye was going to happen. But we can have pages available in the office for you to pick up a page and take it home and maybe put pictures, write a little story, and then we'll get it all back together and present that to him on that day. Okay? Anything else? No? Okay.
Are there any other announcements at this time? All right. We will collect offering at this time. Raise your eyes at this time.
Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love, through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Our recessional hymn is number 2. We're going to do verses 1, 2, 6, and 7. That's 1, 2, 6, and 7. Thank you. peace, serve the Lord.
I thought that was a real
one.
Quit banging her around her.
Like all the crap you have to carry.